Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us on the CCA California podcast. Good to be with you another week. My name is Chris alongside my good friend, Tony Bangos. Tony, how are you?
Good. I'm back.
You're back.
We're back.
Yeah, it's good. Other than, you know, Darren, who hasn't been here for...
Who?
Who? But yeah, it's good to be back. We're super stoked. We've got a great guest this week. But first, a message from our friends at Fishing Syndicate.
Here at CCA, we are syndicated. Fishing Syndicate offers one of the best lineups of premium fishing rods designed, prepared, and built by fishermen for anglers of all ages. That's you. The FS Passion shows in each one of their quality products. They design and build quality products that meet and exceed the desires and demands of all anglers, which provide maximum strength, confidence, and long-term reliability while you're out fishing. From trout to cow bluefin tuna, there's an FS rod that'll meet your needs at a very affordable price. Don't forget, custom orders, they're available too. Visit fishingsyndicate.com to check out the lineup or visit the shop in La Habra Tuesdays through Saturdays. And don't forget to grab some FS swag as well. Get syndicated.
Thank you, Tony. And without further ado, good friend of mine, Morgan Prominence. Morgan, welcome to the podcast, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just got off a long day at work. And yeah, excited to be here hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, hell yeah. Thanks for coming. We're kind of in your old neck of the woods here in Oceanside, California.
Yeah, I used to work just up the road and live just down the road. So you guys are in Oceanside, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're in familiar territory.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's get started here. I know with... you've got a very interesting background in the fishing industry and all that, and we'll get to all of that, but tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Well, I'm just a regular person who's has the fishing bug really badly.
Join the club.
Yeah. I warned my wife. I was like, look, I fish, you know, and I was like,
your first date, just full disclaimer.
I was like, fish. Yeah, when the fish are biting, there could be problems. And she's been very supportive. But yeah, I grew up in South Africa, and then I moved here when I was just about to turn 15 years old. And I grew up rock and surf fishing there. Like both my grandfathers were fishermen. One of them fished off of ski boats and the other one was rock and surf. And the surf fishing there's really, really good. There's some big fish and different kinds of species you can catch in South Africa. And we used to take like a summer vacation with the whole family every summer and fish for like 2 weeks straight and just get abalone and mussels and cockles and And anyway, so then we moved here and I had no idea what you could catch here or anything. And I went into a local fish and tackle store that's not around anymore, Blue Water Tackle in Solana Beach, and asked him how to catch fish. And so I started surf fishing for corbina and surf perch and spotfin croakers and stuff. And then after we got our green card, I could work. And so I started working at the tackle shop. And I think I was there for probably five years or something like that, 5 or 6 years through college and stuff. And then I also started a kayak guiding business. So I guided kayak fishing in La Jolla and San Diego Bay and North County, San Diego for almost 4 years and hooked up with Ron Lane at Fast Lane Sailing and Kayaking. And he got me onto Hobie kayaks with the Mirage Drive pedal system. And then I graduated college and I studied a really silly, I had a degree in counting, numbers, accounting. And yeah. And,
that's silly.
Yeah. Like
I can think of a couple of silly majors that exist right now. Well, other than accounting.
Yeah, for sure. No, for me, it was like, the thought of, I had like a year left in my degree and I was like, do I really want to sit in front of a computer and like do taxes and stuff? And I just couldn't, stand the thought of it. So I spoke to Ron and he got me a job at Hobie as a sales associate, and kayak fishing was just starting to,
by the way, which school did you go to?
I went to MiraCosta College for 2 years and then I went to San Diego State. Ooh. Except I lived in Oceanside and I drove to San Diego State four times a week.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways,
Hey, SDSU won today, their first game.
Did they?
Yep.
Nice.
March Madness, baby.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah. So, so it was...
Tony's shaking your head.
I'm shaking my head.
Where did you go to school, Tony?
I went to Long Beach State.
Okay.
I did community college for a little bit. Anyways, I did community college for a little bit. Went to Long Beach State. Marine biology was my major. But I was doing the drive from Anaheim to Long Beach pretty much every day because I was working at the Aquarium of the Pacific at the time. Oh, so I was literally going to Long Beach almost 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I assume you're an Aztec, yep. Chris?
SDSU.
Nice. What year did you graduate?
I can't even 2013.
Remember. Okay. So I'm a little older than you guys.
Yeah.
Man, I am getting old. Yeah.
That's all good.
But yeah, so I... You know, discovered kayak fishing. I think like one of the pulls for me to get into kayak fishing was I didn't have a lot of money, and I found out that there were bigger fish like calico bass and bonito and yellowtail and white sea bass later on, and halibut and all that good stuff out further. So ended up buying a cheap used paddle kayak and started going out. And my first time to La Jolla, I caught a nice 20-pound yellowtail.
Oh, that'll spoil you.
Yeah, kind of the bug bit me really hard.
Yeah.
And then once one of my friends twisted my arm to try a pedal drive kayak, I used it for a few minutes and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a game changer because, you know, your hands are free and you can just really focus on holding your position and working a lure properly. And they were quiet and stealthy. Like when we had a lot of kelp, in the, I don't know, I guess like early 2000s onwards, it was like, if you went out kayak fishing for white sea bass between February and August, I could almost guarantee you would get a bite from a white sea bass. You know, some days it was like you would hook 5 or 8, you know, and then kind of things have changed the last 10 years with the bluefin moving in and the coastal stuff, but they're still around. So yeah. And then I bought a boat. I got a 14-foot Livingston from my buddy Ryan. And I had that for like 3 or 4 years, which was a good learner boat because I had never driven a boat in my life before. Mm-hmm. And then now I have a 21-foot center console.
Okay.
So I've had that for like 4 or 5 years. So the kayak fishing I do is mostly like lake fishing for bass. And then most of the ocean stuff, I just take the boat now.
Where do you lake fish?
Lake Hodges, LCAP, San Vicente Reservoir. And then I love going to Lake Barrett when the season opens. That's always super fun. So, I probably get out there maybe like 8 or 10 times a year on the kayak. But there are still certain techniques in the ocean where I feel like a kayak's actually advantageous to catch fish.
Yeah.
Like for example, if the yellows are spawning and they're just kind of suspending up on the surface, you can sneak up on them and pitch a bait out to them. Or if you're fishing white sea bass like inside the kelp, you're really quiet, you can pedal around with a fish finder and see them and drop a bait right on their heads, and they, you know, it's not like you're coming in there with an outboard or a trolling motor, and just you can get the kayak into places that you can't. That you can get a boat in there, but you have to worry about more, you know, like with a kayak, you can tie your rods down and go right into the surf zone. And if you get toppled, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're not going to topple a $50,000 boat or something, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, very cool, man.
Yeah.
Very cool. So basically you've got all of it. Well, okay, let me go back. So you worked at a tackle store during high school and all that, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So how was that experience just kind of growing up doing the tackle side and then moving on to kayak fishing? And, you know, how was that just kind of, because that's not typically a typical job for a high school student.
Yeah, it was amazing to have that opportunity to learn at the tackle shop. Mm-hmm. You know, I've probably done put line on tens of thousands of reels and, I had to tie an Albright knot and a Bimini twist like 100 times before my boss let me tie it for customers.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, people would come in and they would have a fish in the back of their truck, or, and they'd be like, oh, can I weigh this yellowtail? Like I weighed 3 yellowtail over 50 pounds out of La Jolla for anglers in Solana Beach. And there were fish that, you know, people would bring in off Swamis or off of like Seaside in Cardiff. And so I'd kind of get fresh dope on like what was happening. You know, two guys would come in and each have a white sea bass, and I'd go, oh, what happened? They were like, oh, there was just a giant bird school off Cardiff, and we paddled out there, trolled mackerel, and we caught sea bass and headed in. So the next day I'd be like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was cool to be just like enthralled in fishing like that. And then weirdly enough, as Tony can probably relate to, I was like in my late teens and I felt like I was partially a psychiatrist for a lot of people. They would come in and tell me like their marriage problems or like financial problems. Some people would hang out in the store for like hours, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And it was cool. So I guess I just learned a lot of different stuff and, knots and techniques and ways to work lures and what lures to use, and from catching like trout and crappie and bass to all the way up to like tuna fishing. And then I guess what's so awesome about fishing to me is like every single time you go out, no matter what you're doing, if it's lake fishing or going out on a boat deep sea, it's like you're in this you're in this realm that you have all these possibilities that could happen, and your preparation and everything that you put into that day can really pay off. And, you know, you're giving yourself a chance. It's almost like a gambler's high every time you go out fishing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah.
For sure. you know, I got to ask, so I guess 2-part question. So on the tackle side, and also more so because you had said that you got it like in La Jolla and doing kayak fishing there. How were things back then compared to how they are now? Has there been drastic changes or drastic differences from, you know, two different points?
There's more people on the water, but there's no shortage of fish. And, you know, I would fish North County, and this was pre-MLPAs. And where I learned how to kayak fish was like the stretch of beach between Swamis and Seaside in Cardiff. And that's all in MLPA now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, launch my kayak through the surf. And I wish I knew then what I knew now, like the techniques and stuff. But I, you know, caught a lot of bass and halibut and things like that. But the conditions have changed too. You know, I feel like the kelp beds used to be a lot more, well, 100%, they were a lot more defined. And you could fish the outside edge of the kelp or the inside the kelp. And it was like a whole, you know, different world out there. Now it can be a little harder to locate fish. You know, there's still structure and some kelp and stuff like that around. But just your techniques and stuff have changed. And also, you know, back when I started, you would post on like a forum like, hey, I caught a yellowtail. Awesome. And now it's like, if I catch something, I usually don't. I try not to say anything because
the original social media.
Yeah, I definitely will post stuff, but it's if you have a lot of friends that fish the same area, they're like, dude, why'd you do that? You know, now there's like 50 people out here on Saturday, whereas we put in the time over the winter or whatever to like. We got skunked the last 3 times, and finally the fish showed up, and we have them dialed in now, and now you just blew it out of the water. So I don't know. I used to be a lot more like open to just telling everyone, and now it's kind of like, well, if you do that, there's going to be a lot of people out there. So,
and that's kind of the downside too of like this industry. Maybe not so much the industry, but like when you were saying getting all this information from people in the tackle store, people weighing their fish, you know, the fishing community, I genuinely believe, everybody wants everybody to catch fish, right? And so you get all these different stories and tackle tips from people, and that worked or maybe it didn't work in that condition. But, you know, now I was watching a bunch of surf fishing videos because now I have time. I get to search.
Benji K?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was watching some of his videos, and it's funny looking in the comments because, you know, I want to learn, but I also want to go out there and put the time in myself and take the knowledge that I've gained from these videos and, you know, put it to work. But you'll notice in the comments, everyone's saying, oh, where did you fish here? Where was this? And no one wants to say anything because of what you just said. You have to put in the time and the effort, and you have to put some time out on the water and kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah, like the whole bluefin thing, you know, like I probably ran out to San Clemente Island on my boat and like fumbled with a kite and and like those pink helium balloon things from Party City.
The party ones.
And like for 2 years, I mean, there were times me and my dad were out there and we had them all around the boat and we were like cursing out because our flyer was up in the sky or like something, you know. So I've definitely like paid my dues with that kind of stuff. And then it's like, you know, I know everyone works and like we all don't have a lot of time. And it's like, oh yeah, Chris, like go to this spot. They're biting. But so many people are doing it nowadays. It's kind of like, well, you do have to put in your own time. Like I just surf fished was it last night? No, maybe the night before with my buddy Brian. And we went and tried a completely new spot that I've never even fished before. We were trying for halibut. And then we went to like another place and I was like, hey man, don't tell anyone about any, cause I know this spot, but I was like, yeah, I told two kids in my neighborhood and like, they text me pictures of fish all the time, which I love, you know, like they're young kids having fun, which is great, but I wouldn't post it on social media or like a forum because it would be ruined every time you go down. There's going to be like someone fishing in the three good holes that are there, you know?
You know, that reminds me, Tony, we just had this conversation. Do you remember the Boston Big Game kites?
Yeah.
From like, I think it was like 2016 or 2017.
Yeah.
That's just like a blast from the past for me. Like I can't tell you how many of them I lost, how many of them I had to bite. Oh, then also those like pink, like party helium tanks before the, you know, professional ones and all that. It's just mind blowing how much more efficient and dialed in we are now in blue fishing than we were just, what was that, 7 years ago?
Yeah. I remember like even trying to figure out how to rig a flyer properly.
Yeah. The yummy flyer.
Yeah. The yummy flyer, but even like a dead flyer.
Yeah.
And there were no videos for like the longest time. And then I had to like beg and borrow, like I would spy on like how someone was doing it on a charter boat or something. Yeah. And I'd like snap a picture or something, be like, okay, cool. Like you put the hook right here and the leader's got to be this long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just little things where you get that thing flying right or looking right eventually. Yeah. And then you have the success. And I don't know. People can be pretty expecting for people to give them like information, you know? And it's like, no, dude, like go out there and freaking put in the time and effort.
Figure it out.
A lot of people have. Yeah.
Well, so. I definitely want to get into bluefin fishing, but let's start with the basics here. So Tony and I have never fished off a kayak before. You're pretty, I've heard you're pretty good at it, but what would be the basics, the 101 course that you would teach as far as kayak fishing when it comes to, you know, best ways to get into it, best ways to figure out what's going to be the right boat for you, all that stuff?
Yeah. So I would say number one is it's kind of a thing that you should really appreciate the help of like going to a specialty store. Like don't go to, you know, a store like, for example, Walmart, where you'll buy something, but there's no one there that knows about it or is passionate about it. Go to a good kayak store and demo a few different kayaks there.
Our good friend Ron Lane.
Yeah, he's exactly.
Got you dialed in.
Yeah, so you can try different kayaks because depending on like your size, your height, and your weight and your agility, you know, it's different if we're putting an 80-year-old versus a 16-year-old on a kayak, you know. And then you have to look at how you're going to transport the kayak, you know, what kind of vehicle do you have, because you want to make it easy to load and offload from your car. Otherwise, it's going to kind of be something that's in your way that stops you from going. But once you've gone to the shop and demoed some kayaks and stuff, like support those people who gave you the opportunity to dial it in, buy the kayak from them. And then a lot of them will have ambassadors associated with their stores that can take you out. Like I know Ron was doing the fishing mission thing where you could sign up, and that was a perfect way to learn how to kayak fish, go out with someone like Afrin from War Baits, or any one of the other shop people that work there, and spend a day in the bay or on a lake and get used to your kayak in calm water. And then even if you do decide to go ocean fishing, like if you launch through the surf, you're going to flip eventually, you know? and so just, you know, take the precautions to learn how to leash down your rods, or like take your kayak out without any rods and go mess around in the surf, you know, and flip it and practice turning it over and everything until you're like, okay, if I get into this situation, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And then just go for it. But I always say, like, be safe, wear a life jacket. And then number two, like, always, I'm a hypocrite when I say this, but always try to go out with another person, because if you flip your kayak or if something happens, you have a heart attack or something, that other person can call 911 or help you, you know? Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of situations where having another person. In fact, one of the times I went solo, I flipped my kayak while I was bringing a white sea bass into my lap, and I thought I was so cool because I didn't want to get slime on my legs. So I opened my front hatch and I was tied off to the kelp during a day where there was probably, you know, like a solid 5-6 foot swell running. Of course. And as I was pulling the fish in, the swell came through my leash on the kelp tightened off, and my kayak went over in slow motion. And because my giant front hatch was open, it filled up with water within like 45 seconds. Oh, and there was one boat in La Jolla that day. And I was in the water. I turned my kayak back over and I got back on it, but it was so full of water, it was floating. It was floating, but it was underneath the water. So I couldn't even like drain the hatch. So I used my paddle and I waved down. I still to this day don't know who the two anglers were that saved me that day, but they came over and they hauled my kayak onto their boat and we drained the water. And then they were like, okay, are you good to go? Or do you want to ride into the beach? And I was like, yeah, please. Can I have a ride into the beach? I lost the white sea bass. I lost like 3 or 4 rods and reels. And
oh man.
But if I'd had a friend there, at least, you know, I would have had an opportunity to
save the fish.
Well, yeah, maybe not the fish, but figure out a way to like get back to the beach safely, you know, because I'm very lucky that other boat was out in La Jolla. Otherwise I would have had to swim back into shore, which I was probably like a mile, you know, from shore. So yeah, take a buddy, but
yeah.
But that, all that knowledge you can find at like a good kayak store or like online or, you know, like Dennis Spike, I know, or Jim Sammons, or, a lot of people like that are fantastic with sharing information and stuff like that.
When it comes to certain models of kayaks or brands or whatnot, does a certain model of kayak fit a specific person, or is it just a line of kayaks that you just got to figure out which one in that model class fits you?
Yeah. So it's go ahead.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's some kayaks like the Pro Angler series and the Titan and stuff by, I forget who makes the Titan. I should know this, but there, every brand has like a big person kayak now. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're a larger kayak like that is going to be harder to portage down to the beach. It's going to not do as well in the surf or whatever, but it's like, if you're launching at a boat ramp in San Diego Bay, it's like, what are you worried about? You know, get a big, sturdy, wide kayak. You're going to have more space to store gear, more stability and weight capacity. And then there's the other side of the spectrum, which is like your traditional thin, skinny, fast kayak. And so it all depends on your experience level and your ability on the water. Like if you surf or, you know, skateboard or something, you're probably going to have some better agility. and be able to go with a lighter, faster kayak. But like my boat of choice for La Jolla is a Pro Angler 14, but I had two kayaks at the time, and I would use like an Outback or a Revolution 13 or a Compass or a Passport now. There's so many options, and that's just from Hobie to fish North County, because I wanted a lighter kayak that I could portage and launch through the surf and go for a few hours after work or something. So it's going to depend on your comfort level, your size, and then what you're trying to do with it. You know, like a big sturdy kayak that allows you to stand up and fish could be advantageous for bass fishing, like working a jerkbait properly, or and then like pedals, if you fish in an area where there's current, like if you fish on a paddle kayak, you're going to cast out and you're going to start drifting, and your lure is going to, it's like working an iron, you know, when there's current, it's messing up the swimming action of the jig and you can't stay on the spot. So a paddle kayak might be really good for you to hold yourself in position and fish the area properly. So there's so many little nuances and advantages, but I would just say, like, if you're interested in getting into it, you know, be safe, you know, try out a few kayaks and just get after it. Go do it. It's so much fun. It's healthy for you. You know, there are motors that you can use now, and I've used them plenty to get from point A to point B. They're really nice, and they're also like another good safety aspect. But yeah, I also think less is more with kayak fishing. Mm-hmm. So kind of like keeping it simple, just less stuff to like rig up and go. It's like whatever you want to do. Yeah. That's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's something I never thought of too, how it's not a one size fits all. You know, you need to get properly outfitted in a kayak. Cause I surf and I snowboard. I've surfed for most of my life. And even thinking about the surfboard process, you know, when I first started, I thought, oh, I can just pick out a board, but that's not the case. Like the board picks you. It doesn't pick you. The board picks you. I don't know, whichever it is, but once you find the right match for you, it's a game changer. Yeah. So now I can totally see how it would be applicable to finding the right kayak for you.
Yeah. And it seems like the perfect kayak size is like that 12 to 14 foot range, in length at least. And it's kind of like going back to surfing, you know, like a 7 foot egg or an 8 foot egg board is like everyone can ride that board for the most part, you know. And that's kind of the case with like that 12 to 14 foot range kayak. There's a lot of options out there. It's just kind of dialing in how much money you want to spend and what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
So
one of these days, Tony, we'll go kayak fishing for the first time.
If you guys want to go kayak fishing, I can try to take you kayak fishing for the first time.
It's recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
evidence now. Let's go.
Yeah. If you guys want to do it, I'll take you.
All right. The interest is there.
Yeah.
The interest is there.
As long as the bluefin aren't biting that day.
Well, that's a perfect segue to my next question. You've been doing quite a bit of bluefin fishing as of the last couple of years or whatnot. How's that been going? All that.
It's cool. I wish I didn't have to work. It's really fun. I mean, you guys both know there's nothing better than like, my favorite's foamer fishing, you know, just like
naturally
getting in the binoculars and like seeing the ocean erupting and pulling up, or, that's my favorite thing to do is cast poppers at them. There's been some cool situations where we've gotten ahead of breezers and stuff and like cast a popper ahead of them and watched fish in slow motion just come up like and just go and like eat the popper. Mm-hmm. And you're like, he doesn't even know I'm there, and you set the hook or whatever. And then other times it's complete mayhem foaming and you're just casting it in there and waiting for one to see it. But no, it's super addictive. And I was actually talking to a few friends about how we've neglected like inshore fishing so much the past few years and how I kind of miss it, because every time I go bluefin fishing, it's like go to Costco and get ice, like get the fish bags, go get flyers, make sure you pack them in a cooler so that they're frozen. Yeah, it's an operation. Yeah. And then like sometimes drive like 70 miles out in your boat to 'cause I'm a person that's like, if I hear that the fish are on the west end of Clemente, like that's where I'm going to go, you know? And so, but I obviously like keep a very close eye on the weather, and I'll look for like a window of weather where it's good weather for a long time and try to go right in the middle of it. So I've been knock on wood, pretty lucky not getting myself into too many hairy situations, but, oh, it's so much fun. And then last year in October, I was coming in from fishing yellowfin and stuff. And like, I was in 300 feet of water outside of Oceanside Harbor, and there were yellowfin jumping out of the water in 300 feet of water, you know? And
oh, just don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
And like the bluefin, we caught him as shallow as like 50 feet of water in the last few years, you know,
East
like
coast fishing right there.
Yeah, just crazy. So it's kind of wild going out, even kayak fishing nowadays in the ocean. You're like, maybe I should take a popper rod just in case, because like they've come into La Jolla several times the past few years, and you know, people on the solo skiffs and kayaks, and you just never know when the bluefin are going to show up. You're like, oh, the water's green and cold here, and it's really like, and then all of a sudden the bluefin show up, and you're like, why are they here? I don't know, but
this
they are.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but they just, you could always run into them. And that's like, we're so lucky the last few years to have, well, it's not just a few years, but probably like 8 or 10 years now to have this fishery that's developed and, you know, to be able to go out there. And another thing like that's been interesting too is like, you know, catching those really big ones. It's like, man, you catch one of those things and it's like you pretty much have enough bluefin for the entire year. Like, what are you going to do with all that fish, you know? So I'm kind of toying with the idea of like just trying to release more fish this year. I know they're kind of a difficult fish to release, especially if you're using like treble hooks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that one like Italian lip gripper tool's like $300 or $400. But I don't know. I think that's, we're going to start seeing that a little bit more, like people starting to release the bluefin and stuff, just because it's like, man, you only really need to take one fish. I understand if you want to take more and like share it with your friends and family and stuff, but like, it's just so plentiful and there's so much bluefin around in the summer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, imagine because we were talking about this with our guests earlier today, but you know, imagine, Chris, if there was a way that these spaghetti satellite tags or the spaghetti tags were just accessible to people like us and the community down here, that if, you know, you catch a cow or you catch one over 100 and you're like, oh, you know what? Like, it was fun. Maybe I'm going to release it. How cool would it be for those tags to be readily available
so that you
can tag them and then release them again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Citizen science.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Us as anglers kind of participating in science and also conservation too.
They do that in Florida, don't they? With like the redfish and stuff or?
They do that with a whole bunch of, they don't do the satellite tags, but the spaghetti tags for, you know, redfish. Plus they just tag redfish all the time too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool just to like start a movement of like tag your fish, let it go. And like, maybe it gets caught again someday and you're like, sweet. Look at, you know, 3 years ago, this fish was caught and now it's this big and I caught it in La Jolla and now it's in Morro Bay, you know, or I don't know, whatever.
Well, so. It's known that, you know, these fish pretty much do like a figure eight up between Northern California and even Southern Oregon all the way down to Baja, to where that's all they're doing all throughout the year. And you hear those stories of bluefin off Monterey or Morro Bay or, you know, even obviously down south and down here and all that. But it's really interesting. That would be actually kind of cool to actually have those tags accessible to where we'd be contributing towards the science because we need it.
Yeah.
We need the research.
Yeah, and be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone has a friend that could let us in on that, we're happy to volunteer as tribute.
Exactly. If anyone knows somebody, make sure to get in contact with us. Morgan, have you ever done, sorry to go back to kayak fishing, have you ever done those Islander trips by chance, the mothership trips?
Yeah, I have.
How fun is that?
It's really fun. Yeah, you get to relax on a beautiful big sport boat and get all your tackle ready, and the crew loads your kayak and your crate or your bait tank or whatever you want to take out there. And then you're with a bunch of like-minded anglers. So there's plenty of like excitement and talk and, you know, sharing stories and techniques and stuff. And then you wake up the next morning and you're in the, you know, at beautiful San Clemente Island or wherever else they would take you out to. I think it's usually San Clemente.
Yeah.
And you get to launch and it's gorgeous most of the time, you know, as long as the weather's good. And then you're in this incredible fishery where there's giant calico bass, there's halibut and sea bass, and the yellowtail fishing is really good. And I even know, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, like a group of those kayakers that went on the Islander, a school of big bluefin came through.
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, and everyone hooked a bluefin. I don't think anyone landed their fish, but I think they were a little too large.
Everyone's just getting towed around.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you hooked a bluefin on the kayak?
No.
No? Do you have any desire to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was talking with my friend. His name's Lance Clinton. He lives in Costa Rica, and he's trying to come up here this August. And I've been talking to Ricky and Nate at BD Outdoors and trying to put together something where we can go out and I'm trying to think. No, I haven't caught bluefin. It's only been yellowfin out here. But we've dropped them off of skiffs out here and like run into, you know, little – bird schools of yellowfin and cat caught them on poppers and stuff. But I would love to do that with bluefin. And then I would love to catch a really big one, like drop me off somewhere off San Clemente with I want a helium balloon and a flyer and I'll just slow troll that thing and just kaboom. And then, you know, like the biggest thing that I've thought about with like a big fish, like say one over 150 pounds is just how are you going to handle that landing portion of the end. And, you know, if I'm going to take the fish, like, I don't know if gaffing it would be a good idea, probably like harpooning it, but I don't know if that's legal here or not. I don't know. We'll have to research that.
That's a good question.
But yeah, I would love to do that at some point.
How is popper fishing on a kayak?
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah,
you're standing up.
Right? No, not always. Like I've hooked some big fish like roosters and white sea bass standing up, and immediately like you go to your butt as soon as you hook them, you know. But no, you just cast sitting down, and it's again you're like super quiet. The those foamers and stuff like those yellowfin, they even spook when you're on a kayak, just the like little thud of your kayak, they hear it, you know? So it's like, you can't you're more stealthy than a boat, but they still know that you're there. But it's awesome, man. I've been lucky enough to like kayak fish in Panama with insane popper fishing. And then, Mag Bay, what's the bank that's on, forget, I'll think about it. But, we had like good yellowfin tuna fishing down there on poppers. And then, it's just epic, man. Like watching a fish eat a popper sitting at the same level as them is pretty cool.
It just seems very difficult to be sitting down and, you know, just basically popping.
No,
really?
No, it's like getting a spinning rod, like my go-to for like bluefin for larger ones is like I forget the sizes of Daiwa now because they've changed them, but it's a Saltist. It's the blue one, the cheaper one.
The spinning rod?
Yeah. Oh. And I have 80-pound braid on it, but then I have another setup that's like a 5,000 and I have 50-pound braid on that. And that's like usually my go-to for like fish up to 50 pounds. I caught a pretty big one on the 6,500 and like, I swore, like I haven't taken it apart, but its drags have to be like melted.
It got
really hot. I got 160 pounder on the popper on the spinner, and I got him up to the boat in like 40 minutes. Cause I was using the AFCO harness and, my friend Mike gaffed the fish in the head, and it was still really green, and it like smashed his hands against the rail, took skin off his knuckles, and took the 8-foot gaff 800 feet down. And I was like, oh, man, like...
No.
Wow. Yeah, and my reel, when it took that run, that's the first time in my life I saw a reel smoke, and I couldn't even touch my reel.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've caught fish on that reel since, and it still works. So... kudos to Daiwa for their saltis, because that setup's caught a lot of fish. But yeah, man, off a kayak with the spinner, it's you could just kind of keep your rod tip up a little bit higher, and almost like you work a jerkbait, you kind of pop it on a little bit of slack in your line, because those little subtle pops are like what I find at least the tuna around here really like it more than a kabloosh, you know, like hard fast pop.
Oh, so it's more subtle.
Yeah, more like sometimes even just like trying to keep it in like the same spot and just being like, chirp, chirp, you know, and let it sit there.
Just letting it sit, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, I can't help myself.
There is not too many more exciting things than popper fishing or getting a fish on popper fishing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Chris is a little biased. That's his favorite.
Yeah, do you have a favorite popper fish story, Chris?
Not a story. I mean, everything there's been a couple where, you know, just, you know, those wide open yellowfin bites, like in say early fall or late fall or whatnot, where everyone's having fun. And I come back from the charter boat days, and it's just that one opportunity where all the customers are beat, and now like the crew gets to fish and me included and all that. And it's just basically me and my good friend Tim on the bow. And we were just basically like thrilled and ecstatic because we were just popper fishing on the bow and just having fun. And it didn't even matter if we even got the fish.
Yeah.
It was just freaking, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
That's my favorite style of fishing.
Yeah. And I'm sure like Tony, because you've got so much experience on the water on the charter boats, like you never know when those fish are just going to act the right way. And like you have that opportunity to, I always like to have my favorite lure for tuna to cast at them, you know, like is a popper.
Yeah.
They just, they can't resist a popper.
Are you like me that likes like really weird colors, like the brightly colored, like the oranges and the pinks and all that?
So my favorite popper last year was the Hoagie, the 7-inch. It weighs 3 ounces and it's pink, translucent pink.
Okay.
And that thing outfished like the feed popper, the clear one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried a lot of different feed poppers and stuff and the clear choice or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was throwing small poppers and they were eating that, like on multiple occasions, they ate that 7-inch popper as well as they would eat like a micro popper, you know?
Interesting.
And yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. The bright pink.
Yeah. I throw a lot of the Chuck Norris's from Nomad.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Man, Nomad makes some incredible baits.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been fun. Before we let you go though, I've got to ask, we've got some mutual friends.
Yeah.
In Kevin Nakata and Howie Stretch.
Yes.
Now is your perfect opportunity to spill some dirt on either of them.
Oof.
Any good stories, any embarrassing stories? Because that's what we're all about here on the podcast.
Wow.
Take your time.
That's a loaded question.
Well, one story immediately comes to mind with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say is...
Be extra juicy with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love those two guys like brothers. Mm-hmm. We worked together at Hobie and we endured... a lot of time where we worked our asses off and we're sweating together and, you know, like, yeah. Anyways. But one time Kevin and a group of us went out, at ICAST in Orlando and Kev got his dance on and man, he was on one that night and I just loved seeing Kevin having so much fun. And I'm looking forward to someday where he comes out of the club as sweaty as he was that night with his shirt unbuttoned, walking around all proud of himself at like 2 a.m. in the morning. So, yeah. And then Howie, oh, I have a funny story with Howie. It's not really dirt, but last year, Howie and I did a 2-day trip on my skiff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, it's the first time I've done like that long of a trip on my
2 days on a skiff.
Yeah. Well, We were like, dude, we need to go fishing. We're not fishing enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And like every time we go bluefin fishing, if we run out far, it's like, okay, we'll fish till dark. So it's like 8 o'clock. And then it's like, okay, now we're going to run 4.5 hours home in my boat that only goes like, I mean, I drive faster than I should at night. Mm-hmm. And I want to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, let's just spend the night at Catalina and we'll wake up early in the morning and drive. Oh, I have another story about Kevin too. We ran out of gas on his boat one time and he didn't even tell me. And we're like in just past the Coronados. And he's like, well, I guess we're out of gas.
Oh, I'm like, casually.
Yeah. And I'm like, Kevin, like you didn't tell me. He goes, no, you know, I've been thinking, like, I was wondering how big my tank was and like what my fuel. Oh. And I'm like, you just chose to experiment with your boat. So we waited for like 3 hours for Boat US to bring us some fuel. And I'm like, freaking Kevin, he's just classic. But yeah. But yeah, so Howie and I did that 2 day and we slept in the Isthmus at Catalina.
Mm.
And we had caught our bluefin and they were all on ice in the fish bags. And we got, 2 bean bags and we went to sleep that night after cooking some, a great meal. I got, mm-hmm. got this little boat barbecue and it was awesome. Yeah. We made burgers, but I forgot the buns, and so I went to sleep and I don't know what time it was, but something like hit me in the face and I woke up and it was a night egret trying to land on my head while I was sleeping. And so I was like, oh, and Howie's like, wait, what's happening? And I'm like, dude, a bird just tried to, and he goes, oh, okay. And I swear, like, I don't even know how long it was, maybe 5 minutes, maybe an hour. This, I don't know if it was the same bird landed on Howie's head. So we had an awful night's sleep, but we had such an epic, it was just fun, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't really have like dirt that comes to my head.
He's a fast nice guy.
On Howie. Yeah, he's pretty well behaved for the most part, you know. But Kevin's definitely more well behaved now. But my nickname for Kev is the Wild Man.
The Wild Man.
There's only like if I go fishing with Kevin, he stands on the bow and he tells me which way to go. Da, 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 da. Right, more right. What are you doing? Go this way. No. And so, yeah. Kev will direct me.
Yeah. Put him. He has no problem doing that. Yeah. Too.
But he is an incredible angler and he's got an eye for seeing stuff. You mm-hmm. know, like I actually learned a lot of my yellowtail fishing, like especially like spotting breezers and stuff like that on the kayak from Kevin. Mm-hmm. He has an insanely good eye and like he's deadly with those like handmade Japanese stick baits. Mm. I don't know anyone that fishes those lures as well as he does and mm-hmm. gets those yellows to crunch them. So,
yep. Yeah. That sounds like Kevin. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun, man. Thank you so much for popping in.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. I know you've been a huge supporter of CCA for many, many years and you just renewed your membership.
Yeah.
I think you registered for Star too, right?
I did. Yeah. Which is, did Star start?
Not yet.
Okay.
May 25th.
Okay. Yeah. I'm super excited about that. If you guys that are watching haven't signed up for the Star event, you should because it's a great excuse to get out on the water and mm-hmm. catch fish and earn points and like have a really good time, you know? But I also want to thank you guys and like I felt like I talked the whole time and I wish
that's why we brought you.
I want to hear your stories as well, you know. So maybe one day you guys can do a podcast and talk about yourselves instead of interviewing someone.
Gosh, that'd probably be well for me personally. That would be the most boring podcast ever.
I don't think so.
I'll just let Tony talk. Okay. She's got an interesting story.
I have a few good stories.
Yeah.
Well, Morgan, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. You guys keep up the great work and thanks for fighting the fight for us anglers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Before we let you go, where do we find you on social media and how do we get in contact and just basically talk fishing with you?
My Instagram name is How's It China. And in South Africa, like when you say like, hey, what's up, dude? You say, mm-hmm. oh, how's it, China? You know, like,
oh.
So H-O-W-Z-I-T, China.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people don't get it. But anyway, so that's explaining what my Instagram is. And I don't really go on Facebook anymore much, but just mm-hmm. Morgan Promnitz, I think, on Facebook. And yeah, if you want to send me a private message or anything and you have questions about kayak fishing, I'll do my best to help you out and, you know, get you going in the right direction, because fishing's fun and you should get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah. We all need Amen. To do more fishing for sure.
Yeah.
Tony, another fascinating episode, fascinating guests, all good stuff.
We have awesome friends. How lucky are we?
We have such great friends. Morgan, you are definitely one of those for sure. Well, that is going to do it for this week on the CCA California podcast. Make sure to go to follow us on Instagram at CCA California, and we will see you guys next week. Take care.